Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults. Also, the views expressed in Those Damn Ross Kids do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Whatever.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Okay, whatever. No, it's fine. That's fine.
It's good.
That's fine. You're good. You're doing good.
No, you're good. You're really good.
No, you're doing okay. You're doing great. I think this is good. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. No.
No, yeah.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah?
Mm-mm.
Mm. Okay.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 33 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
3-3. It's a lucky number. You know what? I'm a lucky guy. My name's Cole, and your name is?
My name is Chris.
Okay. Well, I know we got that wrong. So,
which part?
Oh, just it's not the way we usually do it. I usually say, "And who am I?" And then I say, "You are," or something like that. We've worked out this strange little cadence.
Screw it, dude. It's all off now.
Yeah. You know what, Chris? Every move that we make is the new tradition. All right. Think of it that way.
Is that like a beer commercial?
I don't know. Speaking of beer, administrative detail.
Does Sting say that for Natty Light?
Administrative detail. This episode, I am being fueled by homebrew made by one Andrew Klinger. He provided me with a bunch of his beer.
How much is a bunch?
Like 7 bottles. It's like a sampler pack of all of his home stuff. I'm drinking the Kolsch now. It's good. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
What good friends you have.
Hey, you know, whatever, you know, just props. Just doing a bit of a shout out, you know.
This is definitely the format for that. You should do that some more.
Okay. Well, you know what?
What about lady who let you merge into traffic on your way home from work today? What about her? Way to go, lady. Nice job.
Yeah, no, thanks. You're good.
Shout outs.
Your license plate said it was a series of numbers and letters. I don't quite remember it. It was a red Kia.
Yeah.
A lady in a red Kia. So everybody out there who is driving a red Kia, you're going to get a fruit basket.
Definitely.
And by fruit basket, I mean Chris. You're a fruit bag.
Thanks for the tan Camry.
You're gay. You're a fruit basket. Oh.
God damn, dude.
This is terrible. Tell me a story.
I'm just going to devolve. Here we go. Way to go. Way to go, gay people. Here's a fruit basket.
Here's a free one. Yeah, well, what I love about the wake of the New York, you know, ruling on gay marriage, which I think is a good thing. What I love is the amount of people on Twitter I saw making gay jokes, and like I felt like telling them like, listen, you know, I'm all for being, you know, crass or whatever, but you have to realize that even if you're being homophobic in celebration of something that it's still like mad homophobic, like talking about like hanging new drapes in the New York State House and all of that. It's just, it was getting out of hand there for a little bit.
Yeah. There were flash mobs again though.
Were there?
Yeah. There were flash mobs. Flamboyant flash mobs.
Okay. Was that a story?
No, there's not a story. Okay. It's just there were. Just a comment. Just a, you know, a little commentary.
Yeah.
You know, you're making it very easy for me to be better than you at this right now.
Okay. Okay, well, knock it out of the park. Tell me a story.
All right. Let's stay in New York.
Okay.
Where I believe that they're, after passing the gay marriage legislation, I think that there's a conspiracy to suppress, like, heterosexuality. Not like heterosexuality. Definitely. They are definitely doing that.
Who's they?
The state of New York.
Okay.
Without a doubt. And this story confirms it.
Okay.
Skimpily dressed visitors at Rikers Island, New York City's main jail complex, are allowed to see inmates only if they cover up with an oversized, baggy green T-shirt as part of an updated dress code intended to maintain a family-friendly, in quotes, parentheses, I've added, forcing you to be gay environment. The city's Department of Corrections has purchased some 750 t-shirts in a distinctive, easy to track shade of bright green, size XXL, large enough to be shapeless on all but the heaviest frames. A spokesperson for the department said, "We're trying to keep it this a G-rated experience. If a visitor is dressed provocatively, it could potentially spark a chain of events among inmates leading to heterosexuality."
So
the visitor dress code forbids clothes that expose the chest, stomach, or back. Hemlines must be no more than 3 inches above the knee. Spandex leggings are frowned upon, as are swimsuits.
What about jeggings?
I don't know what those are.
They're jean leggings, jeggings.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Did you just make that up?
No, it's a thing.
Oh, God. Now I have to buy them.
Yeah, I need to upholster my car with them.
That's how that's going to happen.
Yeah, sweet, sweet, sweet. Authentic leather and jeggings. Okay, so no tobacco, no cell phones, no floozies.
Yeah. No vaginal intercourse either.
Nope, that is not allowed.
Not anymore. Ladies, cut your hair if you want some.
Yeah, that's to...
Whew. I'm going to need to see a ball cap on that head.
So are they putting it on every visitor? Or is it just...
No, ones just...
That, who's the judge of how... Is it an actual judge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get retired judges to come in and, you know.
Yeah, it's Judge Trevor.
I love the idea of a family-friendly prison.
It's like, yeah, this is going to be G-rated.
What are you in there for? Oh, I stole a Dennis the Menace comic. I'm just trying to think of the most benign stuff possible.
Good and, God. I don't even know.
I mean, just all that reminds me of is like
I stole a jar of Aunt Bee's famous homemade pickles.
No, all that makes me think of is like when you were at school and like it was muddy out at recess and you ruined your clothes and you had to go to the nurse's office and like wear the cast offs, like the lost and found clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, definitely.
Don't stop doing that. Don't.
I had to see if it worked.
Okay, it does. It does. Listen to the Tux Age. Yeah. Will that become a fashion statement? Like when these guys get on the outside, just like the like you know they roll in you know with like wife beaters or you know like most of those guys are pretty ripped, right? So they you know they're just like wearing like you know shirtless, but then they get out and they think, okay, you know this is how I'm gonna do. So instead of getting like spider web tattoos and. You know, and working on my scowl, I'm just going to put on one of these XXL t-shirts. Can I take us? Can I keep us in New York there for a second?
Yeah, let's stay in New York.
Let's stay in New York here. Gilbert Herrick is a 99-year-old World War II veteran who never married when he returned to the States because he didn't meet the right woman until he was 98 years old. The woman is Virginia Hartman, an 86-year-old widow who lives at the same nursing home. They engaged in nuptials. So they could get around rules against unmarried couples sharing a room. World War II vet, married first time. That's a good story.
Sounds everybody's got a reason.
It sounds like the premise for a Mitch Albom novel.
Everybody wants to get married for a reason. They're trying to get a benefit that they shouldn't have.
Tuesdays with Horry.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. But yeah, that's good. I think it's.
We want to share the same room. We want to be on each other's health plans.
Yeah.
We want to be able to visit each other in the hospital.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an ulterior motive.
Yeah. Well, like, what other reason would there be to like ever do that thing?
I don't know.
I've never been able to wrap my mind around it.
I don't get it either.
You know, most people are afraid of dying alone. But hey, newsflash, we all die alone.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
You know, I mean, it's not something, you know.
I'm going to die really alone.
Oh, I'm going to, like, wander out into the wilderness?
No. Don't give me that ice adrift kind of bullshit eating my birds thing.
Okay, all right.
don't give me kayak tear.
Okay.
Thanks, stuff you should know. No, just die really alone.
Okay, like, how alone can you die?
I don't know, not in a remote location, but nobody around, not in a hospital, not by some ritualistic kind of way, just alone. Pretty much when I know that there's 6 months left to go, I'm just going to alienate myself from people as much as possible.
Oh, you're going to be like super unpleasant?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I like that. I like that. So you start saying really unpleasant things.
Mm-hmm.
And like violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like violence, you stop like bathing. I think that's good.
Come on to relatives.
Oh yeah. Do it. The younger the better.
Can't go back there.
No, that's good. I like that. Pretty much all you have to do is make a pass at your college age niece. And that'll get everybody away from you really quickly.
That's pretty much it. Can you put on this green t-shirt?
I'm going to need a couple more X's on that. Get really fat, too. Nobody likes to be around fat people.
No, nobody wants to be around fat people. No, most people don't.
It makes them feel bad. It makes them feel bad about themselves or really good about themselves.
Yeah, and there's a really good reason why you shouldn't get old and die around people. In the case of Mr. Kenneth Ray Manis.
Okay.
He was a 76-year-old guy, and he died on June 12th. He's going to be dug up or exhumed after his family learned that the dentures that he was buried with actually belonged to an intensive care patient who shared the same hospital room. The dentures were with personal items placed inside his coffin. Accountants say that Manis's family asked for the dentures to be removed. The hospital has apologized and will be paying for the new dentures as well as reburial costs and attorney's fees. The hospital declined to identify the patient who lost his dentures. He's been victimized enough.
Yeah, no, that's rough.
No wonder healthcare is so freaking expensive. How much does digging somebody up, burying, opening the casket, burying them again, and paying for all the attorneys and legal fees and everything else just to fetch a pair of dentures that, could have just been made again?
Well, here's the question: Are they fetching the victim's dentures, or are they making sure that the correct dentures are buried with the deceased man?
Does it matter?
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering because, like, if it's the second one, it doesn't make sense. Who's so attached to their? I like my teeth a lot, though.
But in the scheme of things, man, I mean, what
you're buried with some.
This dentures. Is not cost effective.
No, it's not. But, are these sentimental dentures? Like, is this like these dentures were passed down through generations?
Sentimental
dentures. Yeah, it's.
I don't know. Were they dentures like his grandpa gave him?
Yeah, no. Like,
maybe,
this is like,
I don't know.
My grandpa used these dentures in the wall. Yeah.
Maybe his son was expecting to get those. I don't know. Because if they want him buried with them, then no.
Have we considered that they might be magic?
Maybe they're magic teeth.
Maybe they're magic. Maybe they're gag teeth. Maybe they're those ones that you crank up and they go. Like maybe they talk. Maybe they give it like magic singing dentures.
Good God!
No,
I think we figured it out.
I think we found it.
That's where it is.
Replacing magical dentures.
Not gonna do it.
I don't know. I don't have the know-how. I don't know. I know a couple of wizards, but they're of moderate ability at best.
I would dig to China.
I would dig to China using the dentures. That's what they do, too.
Yeah.
They could bite through anything.
I would dig for days.
What do you mean by dig on dig?
2 G's.
Like the website dig?
Yeah, I would dig on dig.
Who uses dig anymore? I think it's all about Reddit, man.
Reddit? Dig?
Yeah.
Fucking Ben there.
let me go update my Friendster profile.
That's a new website. That's what comes next is fucking Ben there.
Fucking Ben there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna update my MySpace profile with my flip phone. Thanks, Grandpa.
We're gonna place TripAdvisor with Hey Man, wanna go?
Chris, can I share a quote with you? Since we're talking about online services.
Okay.
This was a banner ad that I saw on foxnews.com when I was doing my pre-pro.
Think about that. You said foxnews.com and I laughed. Just say Fox News. This is going to be hilarious.
Yep. Oh man, that's just priming you. It's kind of like when you say www so people know that you're talking about that you're talking about a website. Okay, so Fox News, funny. Here we go. Actual banner ad that I saw. If I had the foresight, I would have taken a screenshot. Quote, If you like Reagan, you'll love Groupon. Reduce your spending by up to 90%.
Wow. Chris, okay, I'm gonna say wow for two reasons.
That's laser targeted advertising.
It is. The wowie wow. The wowie wow.
Yeah.
Is that I also did a quote, and I'm not gonna jump to it yet because I need something to say about this, but it also involves Reagan.
Does it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. This is Reagan-dippity, Chris.
Yes.
Serendipity involving Reagan.
Which is why I think it's important to talk about food insurance.
Okay.
10 years worth of dehydrated.
Oh, no. Yeah. you know that's a thing that Mormons do, right?
What?
Like the whole like apocalypse horde.
They're required to.
Yeah, they're required to. They have to give 10% of everything they make to the church, and they have to have like X number of months of like food stored away.
Yeah,
like if you need pinto beans, find your local Mormon. They've got them. Like just coming out the butt. Excuse me. It's coming out the butt.
A pay to view apocalyptic preparation website. Find your Mormon. Find your local Mormon.
Mormonspotter.com.
I don't even know.
That's like the only joke I feel I tend to try and stay away from stereotypes. I just whatever, unless I'm doing that thing you say I do where I say I'm not gonna make the easy joke, then I make the easy joke. Like I don't want to do like the polygamy joke because that's, you know, it's stupid. But that's like something I legitimately know that they do, so I feel comfortable.
They have to have all that food for all those wives. I don't even know.
I don't know. What's your quote?
I had to find the tab in my OneNote. Sorry.
Sorry.
Best quote ever. That's what it says. My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you that I just signed legislation which outlaws Russia forever. The bombing begins in 5 minutes. Ronald Reagan said this during a microphone test in 1984.
Oh my God. See, but that doesn't take into account. There's the Holly Smoot Act of 1929, which says that anything a president says into an amplification device actually becomes law.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's a thing. Like if you say it into a microphone, it's a thing.
I guess it is.
That's the thing. Russia, strangely enough, hasn't been a thing since 1985.
Does this not amaze you? This quote.
It does. No, it really does. How am I supposed
think about
to react?
That?
We have banned Russia.
We've outlawed Russia forever. No, think about being president, being a president of anywhere.
Yeah.
And all the things that you would want to say. Mm-hmm. About a myriad of subjects, but all the things that you would want to just basically proclaim, mm-hmm. and the amazing restraint that it would take not to.
I share an opinion with Douglas Adams, the guy who wrote the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And mm-hmm. he had a great line which says that anybody who has the desire, follow through, and is willing to do what it takes to be president should immediately be disqualified from doing so. Because we have a system that encourages anybody seeking political office, you know, it filters out anybody who's not a narcissistic sociopath, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, to embrace that, to everybody knows that to be what everybody knows that you are, but you pretend that you're not. You know, I think that is the dictionary definition of gumption, Chris.
Very true.
Elbow grease. Russia, Chris, has been outlawed, and we are sending around special forces to make sure that none of your dolls are nesting.
I don't even know what that means.
Then the Russian nesting dolls, they're like, oh, they pop open and they stack, you know.
Grandma. Oh, the toys.
Yeah, the toys, yeah, yeah.
God.
Okay.
That was really smart.
I know, right?
They're called nesting dolls?
Yeah, Russian nesting dolls.
How do you know all this stuff?
I don't know. I think that I'm...
Do you think, is it natural? Does it just come natural to you to be this good?
I don't know quite how I got to be as good as I am at this. You know, yeah. I expose myself to a lot of facts, and I can't help it if most of them stick. But I thank you for noticing that.
You're just really smart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Smart's a pretty. It's a pretty vague.
You're intelligent.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'd agree with that. Smart, maybe not. You know, but I know my way around. You know, how facts.
Yeah. Definitely.
What else am I good at?
What?
What else am I good at?
Nothing. It's over now.
So mad. I'm so mad at you.
Yeah. Well, that's done.
Okay. That's done.
Just had to get that out of the way.
Out of the way. Hey, Chris, we live in a very sick society. Can I give you, just the prime evidence of that? And this isn't a story, but this is just an observation. All right.
I'd love to hear your opinions. Stupid.
Chris, it's summer. It's summer. Will you agree with this?
Yeah. Okay.
Give me that.
Yeah.
Much.
You can have
it's,
that.
It's summer, and you know people are looking good. You know, there's a little bit more skin out there, and you
fit.
Wearing tight. Yeah, fit. You're out there. You're tan. You're probably taking care to look good and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, we live in a sick society where you can't tell somebody that, hey, you know, you're looking good. You can't
damn
say,
girl.
You can't say, hey, you can't say, damn girl, you fine. You know, you can't. I mean, without being seen as like awful. Now, granted, this is something that, like, you know, it varies depending on how attractive you are. I can't get away with it because I'm a fucking troll. But I don't think that, like, unsolicited compliments from strangers. I don't think that anybody comes away from that feeling clean.
Wow, you're looking really great today.
Yeah, I appreciate what you have going on there. I think that if we allowed ourselves to do that and to have that done to us, you know, I mean, we wouldn't have as many like self-esteem and body, you know, body image issues. If you could just say that without being or feeling weird.
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know, because I see people. I think, you know, you've my dear, have quite frankly got it going on.
Wow.
I don't know.
Maybe that is creepy. You have a banging frame.
You have a banging frame, and I like what's hanging off it.
Mm-hmm. I like you know what you could use in that banging frame?
What?
A stud.
I don't know. I just wanted to say that. I've seen some very attractive girls wearing some very short garments. And I've wanted to say something, but I can't because I'll be shot by the police for stepping out.
I hate to cut you off, but I'm going to look at some trim.
It's gross. Walking around with a mirror and some shit.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be you couldn't wear patent leather shoes in certain towns. Like patent leather shoes were outlawed because they're shiny. And a guy, you know, would shuffle up to a lady, perchance to spy her bloomers.
That's junk, dude.
Was it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Can I move into a segment of two stories that's in the same vein?
Okay, go ahead.
And I'd like to entitle this segment, "Holy shit, there's a hornet." Oh my God. Where did that come from?
Okay, take care of your hornet problem.
Oh no! I hate these.
They're awful.
Oh,
right?
You die! Ah.
Was it trying to fly off with your car?
Hang on a second there. That was probably an audio nightmare.
All of it staying in.
Pretty sure my pants fell off.
That's awful. That is a terrible noise.
I'm trying to get my microphone set up to balance. There it went.
Huh. That was harrowing.
Yeah, it was awful. I have two stories that I'd like to lump together into a segment that I would like to entitle Bitches Gone Nuts.
Okay. all right.
Why are you laughing?
I thought you were building to something with the hornet thing.
No, it's a real hornet.
Okay. So
I have his wing on a crumpled piece of paper right here if you'd like to see it.
Bees Gone Wild.
Yeah, one knee was hurt in the recording of this episode.
Okay, tell me the first of these two stories.
Clyde J. Rideout. Yeah, that's right.
Best name ever.
Clyde J. Rideout.
can I just on the subject of awesome names, briefest aside here. Okay, we have a fan on Facebook whose name is Magnus.
Yeah, and apparently I think he's hard on us, dude.
What do you mean?
I think he likes us.
Yeah, no, he's good.
I think he's digging us.
His name is Magnus, and I don't understand the words in his profile, but he looks like he's got it. He's you're looking good today, Magnus. I gotta tell you.
Hopefully, you're polishing up your English with this show.
Yeah. Okay, tell me. So Mr. Rideout.
Yeah, Rideout.
Rideout. Okay.
Yeah, Clyde J. Rideout, 46, of Kansas City, was charged Friday with forcible sodomy, attempted forcible rape, and first-degree assault. The attack allegedly happened in a hotel room at the Admiral Motel, where the victim said that she and Rideout had smoked crack. At one point in the assault, the woman told police Rideout stuck his tongue into her mouth, and she bit off the tip.
Ugh.
Rideout said that he acted in self-defense after the woman attacked him with box cutters.
Multiple?
Yes, apparently. She went serpentine box cutter.
Box cutters akimbo.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Did she like have two in each hand facing a separate directions? Is that the way that went?
It's like a John Woo. Oh, wow.
I don't think, and the reason that I say this is because this is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's a new definition of just the tip. But even more than that, in situations where stuff gets so twisted and mangled, like when both people are like, yeah, we just been smoking crack for like, what is today? Then
who's president?
Nobody is guilty. The only thing they're guilty of is smoking crack.
Yeah, that's like
the
consequence.
That is all. Thank you.
Good day. I take a lot of issue with people who, with, you know, just because that gets a little bit sketchy. It's like, oh, you were drunk around him, so you must have wanted that to happen, which is just a terrible thing. I think that to a certain extent, this is of that same breed of logic. It's, you know, it's just like
totally different in situations where this it spirals out of control.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, if there is a line, it's drawn like way out in the mist before like just completely loaded out on crack. So she bit his tongue off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like nobody's hear it. Like little 6-7-year-old kids, and there's a boy and a girl sitting across from each other in like the counselor's office, and she's like, yeah, well, she smoked crack. You smoked crack too. Yeah, I did, but you pulled box cutters. Yeah, but you bit off my tongue.
So the rape is wrong, but the crack is wronger.
No. No. Uh-huh. When things devolve to the point where you are doing that uh-huh. thing that I just did.
Yeah.
Just go home.
Oh, you're done.
Just go home.
Yeah. Well, being just, you know, we live in a society where our justice system is defined by guilty and not guilty. And neither of these people are not guilty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Go home.
I think I got it. Just go home.
Just go home.
Who's the second be gone crazy?
It's a lady in India, and as the copy reads, India can be a very scary place, especially if you're a man who tries to rape one particular woman. A 35-year-old woman decided to take the law into her own hands when a man came up to her while she was gathering grass for her lazy cattle. Ba-dum-bum.
I don't get it.
She was gathering grass for her cattle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why don't they get their own grass?
Oh, okay. Well, they're sacred. They don't got to do shit.
Oh, in India, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh. Geography.
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego? Okay.
And why didn't Carmen tell me about this? Who can find her? I don't know. She's probably banging Waldo. She's banging Waldo. Like.
Continue.
Oh, they go way back. So the dude tries to sexually assault her. In the end, the man learned the hard way that you never, ever attack a woman using a large blade in an isolated field. When the man attacked her, she turned on him and eventually cut his head off with a sickle. She held the trophy up high, his head, and paraded it through a local market in town as people fled in horror.
She crossed the Rubicon, Chris.
Is that a car?
No, she crested some kind of titanic wave, right? She triumphed so hard that she went into a bloodlust and just alienated everybody by doing it. Good for her.
That's really hot.
I don't know how. Well, it's kind of like a praying mantis kind of thing, not going to lie. But yeah, no.
If I die alone, I meant with that broad.
No, fuck that guy. He got what was coming to him. Hey, Chris, you know what we can call that?
What?
5 seconds of you trying to make rape funny. Or 5 minutes, whatever.
No, it's not.
Okay. But no, good for her. Just do it. Just cut it off.
Yeah.
Tongue.
Tab on one note, rape head. That's funny.
Chris, this is like some kind of like brave new form of haiku, the way you put metadata on these stories. I'm sitting here like a chump with my rich text file.
True story. Hey, Cole, want to take a quiz?
Oh, I do. We didn't have a quiz last week because I was lazy.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
True or false? The drive-in used in Pee-wee's Big Adventure was the same drive-in used for the filming of Grease.
True.
It is true. The studio drive-in, formerly located in Culver City, California, was built in the 1930s and was the first drive-in theater constructed in California. It was closed in 93 and demolished in 98.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, good one.
I'm sure there are some really good books out there about the death of the drive-in. Like, apparently we're like really lucky in Mansfield, or you guys are in Mansfield, to have like two of them.
No, there's only one now. There's only one now.
Yeah, they got rid of the one in Lexington.
The Spring Mill, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, continue.
During the magic shop scene, Mario shows Pee-wee heads of different sizes. Whose head was the largest head that he shows Pee-wee?
Phil Hartman's.
Aleister Crowley.
Oh. Okay.
In case people don't know, he's known as Frater Perturbador.
He's this famous Satanist.
And the Great Beast. He was an influential English occultist, astrologer, mystic, and ceremonial magician, responsible for founding the religious philosophy of Thelema. And to prove that he's a true Renaissance man, he was also successful in other fields, including mountaineering, chess, and poetry.
I was going to say, he was a really famous chess player for a while.
Yeah. And he was on the front of the Beatles album, right?
I don't know about Beatles album. I know that, you know, like there's a lot of like metal songs about him because, you know, Satan's awesome, you know, Mr. Crowley, I think that's a Black Sabbath song. Yeah. So it was a model of, it was Aleister Crowley's actual head that they got for that.
No, that was his likeness.
Oh, his likeness. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
True or false? The entire time Large Marge tells her story in the semi, she never blinks.
True.
That is true.
Yeah, no, it's creepy. That's like traumatizing. I'm going to put that noise in and post. I want people to write in to thosedamnrosskids@duckfeed.tv and let me know if you shoot yourself.
And when they finally pulled the driver's body from the twisted, burning wreck, it looked like this.
Continue.
What is Francis's last name?
Like Dubois? Oh, wait, no, Francis. I don't know.
Francis Buxton. Played by Mark Holton, who went on to play John Wayne Gacy in the serial killer film Gacy.
Okay. No, yeah. I can see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, I've got a question for you. Where are they hosing them down? Okay.
Oh, no. When Pee-wee is telling the police about his bike being stolen, he tells them that someone else is involved besides Francis. Who?
Does he say, like, the CIA or something?
The Soviets. The Soviets have conspired with Francis to steal Pee-wee's bike. Incidentally, Phil Hartman was given a writing credit on the film.
No, he co-wrote it.
Yeah. Yep, that's the one. And then his wife shot him. Her name was Bryn. All right, last question.
Okay.
When Pee-wee was holding the meeting to discuss the bike theft, what was Exhibit Q?
It was the horn that he bought for his bike.
No.
Ah, damn it.
It was a scale model of the entire mall.
It was. You unveiled it, right?
Mm-hmm. Exhibit Q. It says the actual pen I actually bought right before my bike was actually stolen.
Chris, I just have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is this something that you can share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
No.
God.
No, that's just for me.
No, Amazing Larry, he was introduced in a deleted scene. Like Amazing Larry was another magician who approached Pee-wee and asked him for tips on how he can improve his image, you know, to appeal better to the youth. And so Pee-wee told him, you know, just, you know, do something crazy with your hair. And so like him showing up during that scene was supposed to have been a callback, you know, to say there's that guy. And he actually went through with it, but minus context, Amazing Larry is actually funnier.
Funnier than what?
Than he would have been with context.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, most things are funnier without your comment. So that's a rule I live by.
Stop it.
Okay.
Just avoid listening to Cole's side. I'll just edit myself out of this one. It'll just be you.
You know, it's really.
did I win?
It's really too bad that you didn't live in Michigan or North Carolina like 50 years ago.
Why?
Well, because Michigan and North Carolina are among 35 states that allowed sterilization of people considered unfit to reproduce.
Allowed or do allow?
What do you mean? They allowed. Yeah.
Okay, this isn't a thing that goes on anymore.
Which is why you would need to be alive 50 years ago as opposed to like now.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me time to really, really prove how disappointing I am.
Swift punch to the grundle. That's the only way I'm going to do it, but...
Is it grundle a euphemism for taint?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just uppercut that grundle. Okay.
I just want to do that. Jab, jab, uppercut.
Oh man, you have to wait for him to blink twice, and then he dodges left, and you have to do the hook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Victims have said that they were lied to about the procedure. 7,600 people in North Carolina were sterilized over 5 decades, and about 3,000 of those people are still alive.
Are they seeking reparations?
Some of them are.
In
North Carolina, they're trying to pass legislation to be able to give each one of these people $20,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
To just buy a bunch of dolls.
To buy a bunch of what?
Of dolls.
So they can pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's fucked up. Like we've had a hard on for eugenics for like centuries.
Why do we like it so much?
I don't know. Probably like because most people suck. Okay.
they outlined one case of a Michigan guy who was a Native American.
Oh man, there's American like none Indian of them
from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Was he the last of something?
Yeah.
Okay.
He probably was.
All right.
Yeah.
So why did they castrate him?
Because they considered him and his siblings feeble-minded. But the thing I don't get is they hauled him in at age 18 and then lied to him about playing with his junk.
Hmm.
So it doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, our inclination is to trust doctors, you know?
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, because of that shit.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's because you read stories about sewing up cloths inside people and taking off the wrong legs and stuff like that.
Yeah. They say you should always mark what needs to be operated on. Like, you know, because humans, you know, we have what's it called? Bilateral symmetry. You should always say, okay, if I need something amputated, you know, I'll take like, you know, like people have been like straight castrated because of that, because they go in to have, they go in to have a testicle removed because of the cancer or whatnot. And then the doctor takes out the wrong one, and you still have to take out the cancerous ones. So dude's walking around with nothing in his duffel bag. It's tragic.
Wouldn't that be? Wait a second. Have you ever seen those Post-it tabs that say like sign here, initial here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what if like you made those? That's a product for people.
Oh.
Yeah, like you buy it in the gift shop.
Hmm.
Remove tumor here.
Yeah. No, just, yeah, out with the flowers and the teddy bears and stuff. You just have just a line of very tasteful tags to let let your doctor know what the fuck's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chris, I feel like I haven't gotten any stories in. I have a whole big list here. Can I tell you something? I want to get this one in because it's a little bit long, but I think it's worth it. All right. Now, Luke Crisco is a 30-year-old man in Denver, Colorado, who was caught hiding in a tank below a porta-pot at a yoga festival. Okay? Pervert, right? He was given an opportunity by the police and the local media to confess his crimes publicly and to offer insight into his thought process. Now, I'm gonna share a quote of his. This is kind of like an amalgamation of some things that he said during his interview. I can't think of a fun way to paraphrase this because it's all just great. I was at the yoga festival doing a little bit of yoga, and I'm just seeing all of these goddesses, Chris. It seems crazy, but I just felt like I was being blessed by their energy, even though it was unintentional. When speaking of being in the tank beneath the urinating women, or defecating women, there's bacteria in there, but to me it's just normal. We all have bodily fluids. It seems terrible, but it didn't actually smell that bad or anything. I still would have done it, even if it smelled a little weird, because where there is muck, there is gold, Chris. Those damn Ross kids, where there's muck, there's gold. Peering inside the mind. Crisco claims to have spied on as many as 200 women throughout Denver as local businesses are discovering peepholes in their women's restrooms. They're also trying to plug these up. He says he's a voyeur and not a rapist and should be treated as such. He was also in the process of creating a, quote, pornographic spiritual website, which was taken down when he was arrested. Spiritual pornography. Chris, this guy's walking around with one of those, like, with, like, a power drill. He's peeping at these women. And all this makes me think is, like, my aversion to public restrooms is entirely justified. Entirely justified, Chris, because you know what this means? Like, if he's doing this, there has to be somebody who's complicit. There has to be some kind of, like, conspiracy. Some kind of vast bathroom peeping hidden society that would put a Chuck Palahniuk creation to shame.
You ever seen a dildo on the end of a reciprocating saw?
like the fuck machine from Burn After Reading?
Probably.
Okay. You hated that movie. Okay.
It's incredible.
it's the closest we're gonna ever come to perpetual motion. I don't know.
I'll go with it.
I'll allow it. No, this I just wanted to share this because those are some unique comments. Where there's muck, there's gold, Chris.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's
a lot to unpack there.
He's a high-level thinker.
Yeah. He's operating at a level that we, quite frankly, can't appreciate.
Nope, no
idea.
You know, the
thing that most people don't know, after enough years of doing yoga, you'll be just like him.
Your vocal cords aren't worn out from telling me about how good yoga is for you. You know, it's a sweaty yoga, hot yoga, it's steamy yoga, it's cold yoga.
I get it. You know, you can do a full lotus, but I can only do a half lotus. I'm not as good as you.
Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up. Enough of that.
Shut up.
Stop trying to better yourself. We all suck.
Shut your face. I do Zumba. You do yoga. That's what I do.
Zumba.
Gotta leave yoga early to do my Zumba.
Gonna combine the two of them. It's gonna be Zumbaga.
Zumbaga. Zumbaga.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. It's a combination of people and yoga.
It's that isn't that like that Reebok? What is it? It was like a short lateral movement slip and slide where you put like anti-static things on your feet, and you slid from side to side as though you were playing the piano in big. Do you remember this?
I don't.
It had little stops. It worked the insides of your legs.
Oh, it was like a way. It was like a way for like an all natural treadmill.
No, it was lateral.
It was lateral.
You pushed from side to side.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Reebok. Weird.
It was Reebok.
Reebok.
Okay. Do you know? I mean, let's be honest here. Some of these girls out there, they're just looking great. They've been very very diligent with their Zumba-ga, you know, and you know if a girl is if she's looking especially toit. Fit, as they say in Britain, you know, she might be able to get a job, you know, that leverages her appearance. But that's getting difficult in Washington State, where moral guardians are waging war on sexpresso stands. Chris, do you know what a sexpresso stand is?
Naked or I'm sorry, wow, naked.
Got them pretty women with their clothes off.
Yeah. Naked women. They serve the coffees.
Yeah,
they serve bathing suits the and topless and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Just one nipple boing, another nipple boing, and then there they go. AC's cranked up. It gets hot in the summer, Chris. Yeah, they feature nude or partially nude baristas serving caffeinated beverages and pastries. You go in, you get a little biscotti, and then you also get a pastry too. The joke being, I call my erect penis a biscotti. Now, these moral guardians are attempting to have sexpresso stands classified as, quote, adult entertainment establishments, kind of like, you know, strip clubs or, you know, porn stores, which would require signs to be posted and IDs to be checked. This would actually cause logistical problems since most of these places have drive-thrus, and there would have to be somebody at the front of the line making sure that that's 18-year-olds in the cars. Which, you know, I think that they're right to be upset, except they're upset for the wrong reason. You know, I mean, just kind of like, oh, I'm sex negative, so I'm gonna, you know, I don't like naked ladies. You know, people are gonna be, you know, ruined by the female form or the naked form or whatever. I think it's an incredibly short-sighted view of the world. But in reality, Chris, when you go to a strip club, do the performers, the ones who were bearing all for you, did they bring you your beer? Are they at all handling your food stuff? This is a hygiene issue.
I just thought of a bitchin' ass t-shirt.
Okay.
A series of t-shirts that would allow people to basically proclaim their sexual preference on the shirt.
Okay.
Like in a standardized way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is this like the hanky code?
So like, no. This is way more apparent, and everybody should have one. You should, even if you have to wear a suit, like the only time you're not wearing a t-shirt is obviously when you're wearing a suit. Yeah. So you should have a pin on your lapel.
There's no in between. Okay.
Yeah. And there needs to be symbols for this, and you can write it out and you can do all kinds of stuff. But it's basically like what? One, two, there's three shirts. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe four. Maybe four. But anyway, so it's pretty easy to, like, you know, put these together and be able to make a good run of them. But it's going to be sex M positive.
Okay.
So if you're a guy wearing a sex M positive shirt, means that you're a gay dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the Craigspace or the Craigspace, Chris. It's the Craigslist code. Yeah, like M4M, right?
No, not even so much that.
Okay.
Just, you know, M positive.
Chris, I miss that.
MF, you know, no, MF positive.
I miss the point. Okay, so MF positive is bi?
Yeah.
Okay, and then F positive would be a straight male, lesbian female.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what about MF negative? Like, you know, there are asexual people out there. Mm-hmm. You know, more of them after those government experiments, but
you can tell them by the carpal tunnel braces.
God, that's a cheap shot.
You personally?
No. That's fine. That's fine. Whatever.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Okay, whatever. No, it's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
It's good.
That's fine. You're good. You're doing good.
No, you're good. You're really good.
No, you're doing okay. You're doing great. I think this is good. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. No.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Chris, can you tell a story?
A neighborhood in Geneva, Switzerland is being terrorized by a cat burglar. And no, I am not talking about a nimble, evasive prowler who steals women's jewelry at night. No, I'm talking about an actual cat that has picked up the habit of thievery. His name is Speedy, and he steals to impress his teenage owner. Started with mice, but then it progressed to badminton shuttlecocks. Now Speedy specializes in stealing garments, depositing gloves, scarves, t-shirts, and Crocs at his teenage owner's at the foot of his teenage owner's bed. He stole at least 100 items, causing the family to post warnings, to their neighbors, saying that Speedy is a thief to watch out for him, and any missing things can be retrieved from their house. I don't buy it for a second, Chris. They're training this cat for some kind of, like, Ocean's 11 level heist. Because, Chris, Bart Simpson once famously said, nobody suspects the butterfly. I counter. No, nobody suspects the house cat. Chris, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
To me, this sounds like the perfect crime.
You ever have a blue raspberry Airhead?
Oh, they're good. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to get the mystery one and then occasionally get the blue raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like this chance, you know.
It is.
Thank you.
So let's talk about that shitty joke you just said.
What about
Stop it?
Don't do that ever again.
Fucking don't.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Go home.
I am home. Then leave. So mad. I'm so mad, Chris. Can I tell you another animal story in this animal hour?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. An apartment complex manager in New Hampshire is fed up with inconsiderate dog owners leaving dog shit all over the common areas. Her solution to the problem is novel. Require all pet owners in the building to submit their pups to a DNA profile. That way, any rogue leavings may be traced back to the dog and, therefore, the careless owner. I'm down with this.
You're down with the DNA and the poo?
I'm down with doggy DNA.
I can imagine.
I mean, just like I can only think of like there are only a couple of ways where you can categorically ruin a day. And one of them is just like stepping in dog shit. And that's like the worst in the world. Because then you get again there with the Q-tip.
How many times have you done this?
Have I stepped in dog poop?
Yeah.
Like probably about 5 times.
Really?
Yeah.
When was last time?
Last time was a year and a half ago.
Where?
Outside my house.
Whose dog? Chris,
I don't know whose dog. I could have desperately used this technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. Okay. So you're agreeing with me.
Yeah, no, I was trying to prove your point.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
No.
Cool. Cool.
I didn't expect that. I didn't expect you to be amenable to me.
You win.
Hey, Chris, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like the perfect crime, and the punishment is going to be rough.
Okay.
I'm just going to sip this beer.
Mm-hmm. God, it's so hard. It's really hard not to hit end call.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
No. No, don't. I was kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, just a joke.
Don't leave me alone.
Don't leave me.
Don't leave me. If I'm alone, I'm going to die. Oh, voila. Oh, voila. Okay.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something funny?
Sure.
Cool. I'm sure people's ribs were live for the break, but now I'm going to talk.
Okay.
in Tokyo, there's a 55-year-old guy who was arrested for asking elementary school girls to spit into a cup, which he would then film under the guise of research. After he was arrested, he told police that he collected the saliva samples for his own sexual gratification. The man has received over 125 complaints over the past 6 years, though the man has claimed to have had this hobby for the past 17 years, with samples coming from over 500 girls. And this is the coolest part. Around town, his nickname, given to him by local kids, is Mr. Give Me Spit.
Is that kind of like okay... You name a Pokemon after what he says, right? A Squirtle, Pikachu, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's like a Japanese thing. So, like, all that I'm, like, taken to mean is, like, he just, like, runs up to these kids. He goes, give me spit!
And that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he touches his mouth and sees blood on his hand.
Oh. Yeah. God.
And then nods like approvingly, like, yeah, now I'm gonna fuck up.
This is the point from which we're going to proceed.
Yeah, that's how that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Right now, go begin. God,
the Japanese man,
crazy.
I don't know. I feel bad because like they're so easy to single out for their sexual proclivities.
The Japs,
the Tojos, Chris.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, you know, Emperor Tojo. You don't watch enough King of the Hill. Chris, I realize that King of the Hill would be much more entertaining, like, once you realize that Hank Hill is a high-functioning autistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard that someplace.
Okay, yes, I did tweet it. But so are you telling me that every time I think of something funny, I shouldn't tweet it?
Why waste it?
I don't know. Because I didn't think it was the right venue until one thing led to another.
Don't worry, we only have to wait another 27 years.
For what?
Do you think it's something else that's funny?
Okay. There's been a very disturbing theme over these past 4 episodes of you just getting shots in on me left and right. I don't like it at all.
So get a shot in on me.
I can't. You're awesome. You're the best.
No, I'm not.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to do this show with you. No, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, this, you know, I can't be funny on my own. I have to accrue and surround myself with people. And I just have to be, you know, fortunate enough that you're willing to talk to me for an hour every week.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. It's, yeah, I don't know. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate, you know, the time that we get together. And I really think that we're doing something special here. Okay. I just want you to know that, because you're good. I mean, you're doing okay.
I'm just scared now.
Why?
Because I should really feel awful now, but I don't.
What do you mean?
After your kindness?
Well, no. I mean, why would you need to feel awful?
Because I've been so mean to you.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Like your whole life.
No, you shouldn't worry, because your self-esteem minute is over. Bye.
You.
This has been Those Damn Roskits.
So, Chris, people who are listening to the show, I think, I mean, it's been a while since we told them to do this. I hope it's implied, but, you know, we really are at a stage where we can benefit from you guys kind of spreading the word. I know that's something that's incumbent upon us, but really, it's, you know, it's up to you to a certain extent. If you like the show, the best thing that you can do is tell a friend. You know, even more than the reviews, going to iTunes and leaving a review is nice. Commenting on the posts on duckfeed.tv, our website, that's all good. But telling your friends is even better than leaving a donation. Duckfeed.tv/donate. That is really how this show is going to have legs. You know, we do it even if nobody was listening. But it's good to get it out there. You know, we've been trying to acknowledge people who listen, you know, from the Facebook page, or, you know, through the reviews, or the gifts that I receive vis-a-vis the beer issue. But I think that's the best thing you can do. Do you have any like marketing ideas for how people can spread the word, Chris?
Not really. Write it on a bird.
Yeah. You know, Chris, birds go everywhere. If you write something on a bird right now, it's going to go down to like South America or something, like, you know, like 6 months from now. And then we're going to be set. We're going to have all kinds of sexy Brazilians listening to our show.
Just tape
freaky. A lot of sexy, oily Brazilians following those birds back to the TDRK train.
Tape that to a duck.
Or
tape it to a duck, because the bird is a word.
Chris,
what kind of tape should you use? Scotch
masking tape. It seems like a missed opportunity, but another thing you can do is burn a CD of our program. Don't label it and leave it somewhere.
Oh, this will be good.
Do it. Just burn a CD, leave it at a table at the, you know, at the food court at the mall.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Our episodes are short, you know? I mean, it's less than the length of a CD. Burn it onto a CD, put it somewhere.
Poop in a bag. Don't leave.
Chris, I don't hear any better ideas coming from you. Anything else, Chris? Did I miss anything?
I think you got it all. I think people know what to do. They're just not doing it.
Yeah. Shame on you.
Stop it.
Stop it.
No, start it.
No, start it, because you're great. You're amazing.
Start it.
Good night.